there is just an easy way to drift into things that are not important. And this is a lot more than let's put the first things first and major on the majors and not minor on the minors. But you're talking about priorities, things that are just absolutely crucial that we pay attention to. I want to take you to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verse 18. Paul is saying to his young protege Timothy, he says, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Priorities. Everybody understands a little bit about what a priority is. Heard the story about a lady who was at Lambeau Field. Now, this may be a sore subject here because I know the Packers are playing the Cowboys. Some of you might be a Cowboy fan, and I understand last time I checked, the Packers were winning. I apologize for that. I have a little sore spot in my life for Clemson right now, so there you go. I feel your pain. But anyway, there was a lady, and they were at this field. And I don't know if you ever heard this or not, but Lambeau Field, I mean, you know, they don't just sell tickets. You know, most of these things belong in families, been for years and years and years. It's much of that is family-owned. And there was a guy who was up there, and there was this lady sitting there with this empty seat, and got about through the halfway through the first quarter, and he asked her, he said, ma'am, he said, I'm a little surprised, he said, of your empty seat. She goes, well, it belongs to my husband, and he passed away. He goes, oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, but, you know, I'm really surprised that maybe a family member or friend didn't want to, you know, take advantage of that seat. She goes, yeah, me too, but they all decided to go to the funeral. Come on, that was a groaner, but it was awesome. Come on, that was funny. Now, we have our priorities, and sometimes they get out of line or whatever, and tonight we just want to get into that. Tonight is one of those lessons, if you will, and I call it a lesson more than preaching because it redirects us through God's Word back to the point to where we need to make some decisions. Not everything is emotional, if you will. Not everything is spiritually driven. Sometimes God gives us the opportunity to just look at black and white and say, you know what, I need to realign a couple of things here. So we know that we all have priorities and we all live by priorities. Here's what a priority is, and it's on the screen. A priority is something that has first importance in your life. We are emphasizing our core values, and as such, we have been talking about everybody has something that's more important than others. And that is a decision as much as it's just something that comes out in us. We all have things that we're driven to, things that we like, things that we favor, but we get to make decisions in all of that as well. So God wants us to make sure that we have this first importance for these things, because there are some things that we put a higher price value on than others, and especially in our relationship with God. So it's wise every now and then to examine ourselves, to look at our lives and make sure that we're going to the right place, because we need to find out where our life is headed. Is it headed down a road that's God's plan, or is it headed down a road that's our plan? You know, and there's a lot of distractions along the way. We understand there's a lot of detours, a lot of ambushes, and a lot of traps and all of that. But when we make the decision which way we go, then we're responsible for that decision, and God just wants us to help us. Are these decisions we've made, the priorities in our life, are they heading us straight to heaven or elsewhere? That's the bottom line there. So I just want to share some things with you tonight real quick. There's a big difference between the temporary and the eternal when it comes to priorities. What comes most important in our life? And we understand this thing that we're here and now and we have to deal with these. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, God has planted eternity in the human heart. There is something in here in the design of every human that God has put in there. And I've heard people say like this, there is a God-shaped vacuum in your heart that only God can fill. And that's why people out there, regardless of whether they're running from God or don't want God or, you know, just living for themselves, there's still that void in there. There's that vacuum, you know. And for the Christian, I'll be honest with you, I don't ever wake up going, wow, why didn't I ruin my life today? I never wake up going, wow, I really wish I'd have been a jerk today. You know, when you follow Christ, you get those. But on the other side of it, when people just live their lives, and sometimes it's us too, we're kind of off the beaten path, if you will, you get that agonizing feeling in there. Sometimes it's aided by the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, it's just lining up with God's Word, and we see these things. We were created with this spiritual thirst that nobody and no one, nothing can feel but God. So we want to make sure that priority is always there. The main goal, obviously, is always pleasing God. 1 Timothy 6:11-12, previous to the scripture we read a minute ago, says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called. Pretty good list, some priorities, a pretty good checklist for us to look at, and the things that we ought to be directing us in one way or the other. So I'll put this on the screen as well. It says this: making a living and making a life are two different goals. You know, it's easy to pursue the things that you want and that you need. It's easy to get caught up in that. Next thing you know, you're just preoccupied with your personal ambitions and your personal goals. Now, most of us think of it as somebody who is trying to get rich. And they put their family on hold, and they put their priorities on hold, and they put, you know, most of their values and their standards, and they've compromised this, that, and the other. I'm going to tell you, it's real easy to do it just in a very simple way and be on the same level of compromise that someone like that is. Only theirs is just extreme. We see them trying to, you know, climb the corporate ladder, have a better car, bigger house, you know, newer clothes, whatever. They kind of do that because of the priority thing. And sometimes we can do the same thing without making the same mistakes. Our priorities are ours, and they're often going to be in a struggle. Our priorities and God's priorities are going to be a little bit of a struggle. I found this. They said that on the Titanic, when it went down, there were 11 millionaires. And they got this guy. He's Major something. I can't say his last name. But it said that he left $300,000 on the Titanic in jewelry and money and some other things, some royalties, because he said, you know, at the moment, let me read it. It says, the money seemed a mockery at the time, so I picked up three oranges instead. You know, when your life comes into that perspective, you all of a sudden, wow, this is a little bit more important than that. It'd be real easy to hang on to those things. Really, really easy. Because money can be a very, very fickle friend. Money can put just go, you know, ambition, success. It's easy to get in those things and get tied up with them. I love the illustration that I heard that, you know, having the wrong priorities is like, you know, buttoning your shirt incorrectly. You ever done that? You know, you put the button in the wrong hole. And you know what? After that, everything's messed up. Every hole doesn't fit, and your collar's all jacked up, and you're going, this is crazy. But, however, the other is true. If you get the right one first, then as you go down that shirt, everything lines up. Pretty cool. I thought you'd all be amazed by that and be writing that in the margin of your Bible because you would be so overwhelmed by this incredible illustration. We all know how that goes, isn't it? But it's hard sometimes to make that decision at that point because we're battling with our flesh versus our spirit. What really seems to be important at that time, our flesh is so dominant and it's so domineering and it is so loud and it's vocal and it screams at us. But God doesn't scream. God just speaks softly. Remember, I love in the Old Testament where it talks about the still, small voice. Our job is to direct ourselves to the priority of just listening. Sometimes it's just stopping and waiting. And life can take that away from you. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says this: fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For what we do for God, everything that we do for God, has eternal consequences. You know, there's a lot of things we kind of dismiss. It's not that big a deal. We kind of do the comparison thing. You know, it's not as big as some of the big, hairy, ugly things that other people do. And it's easy to do that. But God's going to hold us responsible for what we did and not what somebody else did, and especially not what we did in comparison to somebody else. So there's choices that lead us to sometimes to this short-term happiness. We have to evaluate those too. God warns us to take a good look at our priorities. So let me take you to Haggai. Most of you have read this before. Haggai, first chapter, verses 5 and 7. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says: give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says: give careful thought to your ways. Making ourselves number one will always bring discontent. Always discontent. You know, God has designed us. When we connect with the Lord, He gives us this opportunity to choose the life that will lead us down the selfless path instead of the selfish path. Gary Gibson's a good friend of mine, and on Facebook the other day, he told about going into a post office. And I thought, if I shared this, forgive me, but it was just kind of cool. He said, there it was this big long line, and this lady came in. You could tell she was just in a huff. She was just in this rush, if you will. And she looked, and she saw the huge long line, and she said out loud, excuse me, would anybody please let me cut in line? I really have to do some very, very important thing. And this lady spoke up and said, no, you can get in line just like the rest of us. And then he said there was this guy, it was about second in line, and he said, ma'am, He said, I won't let you cut in line, but I tell you what, I'll trade places with you. You can come up here and I'll go back there. That way nobody else is penalized by what you're doing. And he said, what I really enjoyed is how the way that he walked past the lady who, you know, just kind of opposed that and smiled at her real big. And he walked to the back of the line. You know, isn't it cool that God gives us those opportunities? And if we're not careful, they'll miss us. We'll miss it. Let me take you to Judgment Day for a second. Anybody want to go there? I know, I've rehearsed this in my mind a million times, you know. And I like what we get to play with that image. You know, how God goes, atta boy, Dave, good job, high five, whatever. And we're excited about the things that happen there. I'm also sometimes very concerned about the comments that God may have. Now, when I first got saved, I thought it was like a theater and everybody just watched your movie. Everybody. I wasn't too excited about the fact that my past was going to be on display for everybody to see, just so God could say, ah, that's under the blood. Come on in. You know, it was just, I was a little afraid of that, and I found out that was just a foul, you know, just false thought in my mind. But on Judgment Day, God's going to measure three things very directly in our lives. Number one, he's going to look at our schedule. He's going to look at the things that we did, the priorities that we put there, and the things that we kept first. What do we spend most of our time doing, and for whom? Who do we do these things for? Now, Thursday afternoons around here, the staff knows that Thursday afternoons, I'm going to be out of here probably around 2 o'clock at the latest, because my granddaughter gets out of school at 2:30, and I go and pick her up every Thursday. So she gets in the car, and I ask her the same question every week and have the same answer. I say, hey, Mabes, what do you want to do? She goes, let's go burn some money, Poppy. I've trained her to do that, you know. So we go all over the place. Last week, we went to Incredible Pizza. Woohoo! I just love Incredible Pizza. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. That's all there is to it. But she's my priority. That's what I do on Thursdays. Every now and then, something gets in there. And outside of something that really needs to take the priority of that, I try to keep everything away from interfering with that thing. I want my granddaughter one day, when I'm dead and gone, whether she's at my casket or whether she's just telling stories, I want her to tell stories about how Poppy showed up every Thursday at her school. And it's about your schedule. It's about the things that we choose to do. It's about the priorities. You know, our schedule doesn't just include people. It doesn't just include your job. It includes our Bible, the schedule that we have with our discipleship and our devotional life. Well, listen, Francis Adams, I found this interesting. I don't know who Francis Adams is, but it says that he was a 19th century politician. And it says that he went fishing with his son one day. His son was Brooke Adams, and he kept a diary in which he wrote, went fishing with my father today, the most wonderful day of my life. His father also kept a diary, and this is what he wrote, went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. Wow, how horrible. You know, we can beat him up and we can throw him under the bus all we want, but we still get to choose in our schedule what's important. You know, you're here on Sunday night. Why are you here? It's dark, it's cold, and it's foggy. You know, we had a great service this morning, so didn't you get enough God this morning? You know, no, you have priorities. And I'm honored that you're those kind of people. Well, the second thing is not only our schedule, but our spending. Our checkbook is going to be a record of the priorities in our life. I heard Dr. James Dobson years ago, he said, show me where you spend the most time and what you spend your most money on, and I'll tell you the most important things in your life. Whether, you know, that time that you forge out for just you or whatever you want to do. And hey, it could be fishing, it could be business, you know, whatever. We're not here to throw everybody under the bus that really is committed to their job and sometimes works overtime. We're not here to tell you you're doing it wrong. But you know what? You look at your checkbook and you look at your schedule, the things you do with your time, and it'll show us what your priorities are. I've told you before, but I was amazed that I've been audited twice. And the two times I've been audited, the thing that always came up, once was they had a couple of medical, you know, bills that they thought was a little huge. But then every time they said, well, we noticed that your contributions were big. Aren't you proud of a pastor that, I mean, I'm not boasting or anything, but I'm just the world's greatest giver. You know, I'm just kidding. You know, but to their normal or whatever, that was kind of out of line. And they said, that's why you got tagged that way. Are you serious? You know, I'm giving to the church. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, tithing, giving offerings. And I get tagged by the IRS. This is discrimination. I wanted to see somebody, but actually I didn't want to see anybody. Jesus said this, don't store up treasures on earth Moths and rust can destroy them, and thieves can break in and steal them. Instead, store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy them. Thieves cannot break in and steal them. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. I've said it more than one time at a funeral. I've said, you know, I love what Spurgeon said years ago. He said, the people that you've helped, the people that you have loved, the people that you have been devoted to, those are the people that will remember you. So write your names not on stone, but on hearts, so that they'll remember you in that respect. That's powerful, isn't it? The last thing is our speech. He says that on the day of judgment, our speech is going to be judged. We are going to have every idle word that we speak that is going to be scrutinized by God the Father. And it's easy to dismiss a lot of stuff. Listen, I understand sometimes for the sake of humor, we think, well, I'll just throw this in there or throw that in there. And we go, oh, I'm only quoting somebody. You know what? No, you're letting that word be a priority at the moment in your life, and you're allowing that to come out of your mouth. So what we need to do is we need to understand, we got to be careful with the things that we say. Luke, the 6th chapter, says this: good people do good things because of the good in their hearts. Bad people do bad things because of the evil in their hearts. Your words show what is in your heart. The heart has always been the window to the condition of our heart, our mouth, I should say, the things that come out of our mouth. So we can dismiss a lot of things. We can try to live with a lot of things, justify a lot of things. But our schedule, what we do with our money, and the words that come out of our mouth, those are going to be involved in the judgment. So let me just give you, in closing, three ways that we can deal with life and make sure our priorities are what they ought to be. First of all, we can take the road most traveled if we want to. It's easy. Everybody's going this way. You ever had that comment? Well, everybody's doing it. So obviously it's right, correct? Obviously it's what we ought to do. I think I've told you before, but when I was in Youth Alive, we not only did high school assemblies, we did elementary school assemblies. And we would bring kids up, and, you know, the first kid that we'd dress up, we'd put this clown, you know, glasses on him and this crazy wig, and we would have them hold a sign. And the first one was anybody. You know, and there, the whole comment on anybody was, well, if you want to be anybody, you need to be like me. And where we're trying to emphasize, don't follow the example of people that are doing the wrong thing. And then there was nobody. In their conversation, and they look just like the other one, says, well, nobody is just like anybody, in that people will tell you, well, you're just a nobody unless you're like me. And then third came everybody. Well, everybody's doing it. Man, it's amazing. I'm not going to tell you where it was, but it was at a college I attended, a Christian liberal arts college I attended. But the greatest trouble I ever got into was when somebody came busting in my room at 10 o'clock at night, and they said, hey, Dave, have you always heard that, you know what, the greatest challenge to this campus is somebody sneaking in the chapel and turning around the chairs? I go, yeah. And unfortunately, my best friend from Toledo, Ohio, who's not going to heaven because of this incident, looked at me and he said, dude, I'll do it if you'll do it. I'm an idiot. I was a complete idiot. Next thing I know, we're doing this little, you know, get smart, sneaking into the... Anyway, your pastor isn't as holy as you think he is. But I got in a lot of trouble. And all it did was one little word. You know, in extension to these kids that I was telling you about, you had anybody, nobody, and everybody. Then we went on to somebody going, then his name was Cool, and a whole different get up. And we said, you know, his comment to you is, don't you want to be cool? Don't you want to be accepted? Yeah, we'll compromise a lot of things because we want to be accepted. And it's sad the things that we do. And then the last one, here's the biggie. We had a kid, we bring him up, bright yellow clown wig, bright yellow glasses, a sign that said chicken, and he would hold a rubber chicken. Everybody's laughing. I'm saying, you'd be amazed how many things we do because somebody just simply says, are you chicken? It's a dare. It's a challenge. And we fall into those things. Listen, the road most traveled is the easiest way to get there. Matthew, the 7th chapter, says this: go in through the narrow door. The door is wide and the road is easy that leads to hell. Many people are going through that door. But the door is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life that lasts forever. Few people are finding it. Listen, students, let me tell you what. I hope that you'll just take some consolation in these words, because I'm not going to be able to live this moment for you. But I hope that if you have to, you'll sit at home, bored to death, worrying if you have any friends before you compromise your life and join the crowd and end up in a situation that absolutely destroys your future. Please, please think about that. You see these people out here? Some of us have been there. We don't want you to go there either. Matthew 6 says, pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So I'm going to tell you what, test the road. It seems like everybody wants to go there. Everybody's been there. It's the greatest thing in the world. You need to join us. Be very careful and decide whether that's the road for you or not. The second thing is we can pursue the things that we think make us happy. Sometimes we do that. We just go, you know, this is really going to make me happy. The concern there is the word happy more than anything else, because our desire should be seeking the righteousness of God, which always brings us joy versus happiness. Every Christian has learned that happiness comes and goes, but joy stays forever and forever and forever. And it's new every morning, and that's what we need to look. I want to read from Ecclesiastes. Solomon, this experiment that he had to pursue pleasure. In Ecclesiastes 2, he said, I said to myself, come now, let's give reason to try. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. It is silly to be laughing all the time, I said. What good does it do to seek only pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. In other words, get drunk. While still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I hope to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself. I also owned great herds and flocks, more than any king who lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire, so I became greater than any of the kings who ruled Jerusalem before me. And with all of that, I remained clear-eyed so that I could evaluate all these things. Anything I wanted, I took. I did not restrain myself from any joy. But as I looked at everything I had working so hard to accomplish, it was all meaningless. It was like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile. We know his story. We know the ruin that it brought him to. But let's go to the end of that book and read what he says in Ecclesiastes 12. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Priorities will always lead you in the right direction. They will not betray you, but we still have to be the deciding factor in all those things. Let me just share this last thing with you. The third thing we can do in this pursuit of happiness and trying to make our lives what it is, we can seek God's will for our life. We can take the time and decide that that's going to be my priority, to find that will, to search and to hunt whatever it takes, to look through all of the messages that are confusing me, all of the circumstances that don't seem right, to push through all of that to find out what God's will is for my life. There's nothing better than knowing that what you're doing is what God wants you to do, regardless of what everybody else says, and regardless of how much you feel like you're swimming upstream or going against the grain or not pleasing everybody. You got to do God's will, because in so doing, God will take care of you. Let me just leave you with this. Four things that if we follow the example of Jesus, we're going to be real helpful in establishing our priorities. Number one, Jesus prioritized spending time in prayer with his Father. The first thing I think we need to do in making sure our priorities are where they ought to be, whether it's I'm making sure that my family is first, that I'm making sure that I'm doing the right decisions, that I'm going the right direction, my future is where it ought to be. And you find those things out in prayer with God. Jesus find himself constantly just getting away from the crowd and spending time alone with God. And we live in a generation that wants to do everything quickly. You know, it's hard to read your Bible in the morning because there's so much more attention that is ready there to be entertained. There's so many more choices just right there. There's so much to do. But we need to just take the time and find out what it's like to be with God in prayer. The second thing is, you know what? Jesus spent his life telling other people about God. That's what he did. He spent his life telling people about God. The priority that we need to come, and literally, I don't know where it is on the stack, but we need to put it back on the top of the stack, is that there's eternal life in every soul out there if they know Jesus. If they don't know Jesus, there is not eternal life. They're going to have eternity, but it may not be where it is. And God has placed us to judge those people. It's bringing that priority of witnessing and telling people, being that positive influence, not allowing ourselves to feel like we need to shy away and kind of excuse ourselves, but instead be proud of who we are in Christ. It's what he did. The third thing is he protected his time from other people's agendas. Jesus had this agenda. He had what God wanted him to do. And like I said, you know, you have what's most important, and on your way there, there's always going to be an interruption. There's always going to be something that's going to be tagged, you know, just tugging on your coattail and wanting you to do that. My mom, she just got livid at my dad constantly because she would call him to dinner, and he said, in a minute usually turned into an hour because he wanted to finish his job. He's doing something on a car. Well, you know what? It made mom feel like she was worthless. Then dad would come in and eat cold food, and he would complain about the cold food. Well, you know, it was interesting. My mom and dad never entertained a divorce, but I did hear them one time arguing, and my mom said, well, if you don't like it that way, maybe you're going to find a woman that'll do it that way. I went, oh my gosh. And that's the only thing I ever heard. I have a really blessed, you know, history in childhood because my parents never said that, but yeah, I'm telling you, my dad was always wanting to finish this job because it was his priority. See, my dad was a perfectionist. And until it was done, until it was complete, he couldn't pull away from it. Well, sometimes going away from something is the priority just as much as sticking with it. So we got to be careful. The last thing is this. Jesus made it a priority to love people. You know what that means, don't you? He was always about others first. He was always about others first. If your priority always comes back to the sum total of serving yourself, then it's probably a priority you need to question. You need to look at it. You need to evaluate it and think, maybe this isn't exactly in line with what I ought to be doing. Amen? So you know what? It'd be real easy to ask everybody, what is your priority? I don't know. You know, that changes a lot. If I'm at home and the house catches on fire, I have a new priority, whether I ask for it or not. You know, things come up that changes constantly. But here's the thing that I think that we have to do. All of these things that God has shared with us tonight through his word, you see, they position us to be sensitive to him, to be able to establish, claim, and decide on that priority in the midst of all the turmoil that we're facing, all of the pressure, all of the choices, all of the things that are coming at us. We're able to clearly hear his voice. And that way we get to make some pretty good decisions. Amen? Now, how many of you were listening to this sermon, you go, oh, if so-and-so was here. Go ahead. You don't have to admit that, but there's always somebody that needs this more than us. But you know what? It'll never be lived out until it's our example first. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, it goes without saying. We're in a church. I'm in a pulpit. We've had worship songs. We've taken up an offering. We've done a couple of prayers. Father, obviously, you need to be the priority. You should be the priority. And it is so easy to say that. It's so easy to let those words roll off my lips without any desire or any intention on making that a permanent change in my life. If you've identified some things in our lives today, I pray, God, that we will constantly, urgently, insistently, immediately attack that so that it becomes the priority that you want us to have. God, forgive us for the times that we get so busy, we cover you up. Your word gets covered up. It's something that we add to our life at the end of the day, or it's something we get around to. Forgive us for that, Lord. Help us to know, help us to understand the priorities you have for us individually and collectively. We thank you for this day. Thank you for honoring us with your presence, with your word, and your direction. I pray that our priorities will line up with who you are and what you say in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You're an awesome audience. Thanks for being here tonight. You can stand to your feet and please be dismissed. Good night, everybody.